This is where real and virtual motorsport meet. From the ITA studio, to the paddock, to the sim rig. Pull up a chair, pour a drink. This is the Into the Apex podcast.
Into the Apex podcast.
It's a post-Indianapolis 500 roadshow into the Apex, and Tyler and Bradley are back in Eastern North Carolina, back in the main studio. Rob and Patrick are taking the night off, the week off. We're a little off schedule, recovering from all the traveling, but we've got a bit of a little special here, into the Apex Motorsport Podcast Network crossover, because joining us remotely, we've got Jordan Groves and Greg Meismer from the Into the Paddock podcast. Our sister and fellow show on the network. So we've basically got a solid crossover of the network. Glad to have you guys in because it's a Monday night that we sit here together. You guys have just wrapped up Into the Paddock. So you're doing a bit of a marathon here. It's a little bit of a radiothon, yeah. So to speak.
It was our longest episode too, like almost 2 hours, and our 20th episode.
You guys are working overtime. This is overtime.
Time flies.
When you're having fun and drinking a beverage.
I mean, that's true. I do notice, I mean, there's a lot of, this time of year at this point, there's a lot of motorsport going on. There's a lot to, Into the Paddock on our network focuses solely on real motorsport, on news, opinions, breaking down what happened the previous week, what happens the week ahead. And there's a lot going on right now. There simply is. I mean, the Indy 500 alone, coming off of that, coming off the Detroit IndyCar race, there's really short turnover. I'm excited to hear the show, listen to it as I work out, and kind of hear your guys' take on, say, Detroit F1. I didn't catch all of F1, but I know you guys broke it down, so we're not going to get to it in too much detail here again. Here on ITA, we kind of get more into the sim racing side, specifically iRacing, although there was a little bit of motorsport games news today, and we might touch on that a bit before the day's out. But really the hot issue, the hot topic on iRacing is it's week 13. It's kicking off actually tonight and only tomorrow, as most people probably start to digest this episode, you're going to have the Cadillac. The Cadillac's here. And I feel like for
how... Among other things, it's the Cadillac, well, et cetera.
Yeah.
There's a few things.
Yeah, there's a couple there, things. It's not like this is a major...
Honestly... It's the only Cadillac's the only fucking thing that matters, right?
Well,
right.
If there's a theme to this week, to this build, it's sound, right? It's sound. The LMP3, what have we been saying? Bradley, you've said
I forgot about that thing.
Yeah, every time we go to an IMSA race, an Endurance Cup race, or what is it now, the VP Racing Fuel something or another.
Yeah.
Bradley's always like, those LMP3 sounds so good.
I will miss that sound in the main series. I'll miss
Endurance Cup.
Deep... grumble.
It makes my pants tight.
It's
good sound
at Daytona when you're walking under the tunnel and you can't see the cars on the banking, but you hear them and you know what's coming. That I would hear that, and it was like some kind of Stranger Things monster coming to get
it's me. It's bass. LMP3 is bass, as LMP2 is to treble.
Oh yeah,
in person it's absolutely, I mean, LMP2's mainly the reason I had earplugs in for large chunks of my spectatorship of the Rolex was the LMP2. The LMP2 pierces your ears, but the LMP3 shakes your guts. I'd take that for what you will. I mean, it doesn't lay a finger on you, but it's a good car.
I wish it would.
I think we all would. I mean, it just sounds good. So if there's a theme to this build, I mean, the Cadillac, what do I have to say? The Cadillac, that's why people love it. I mean, it's not aesthetic. If I'm being honest, and maybe you guys can agree or disagree, the best looking LMDH GTP is not the Cadillac, in my opinion. It's the sound that gives it what it has. And to me, it's the sound that makes me excited to see it on the track in real life. It's the sound that has me excited on iRacing. In fact, it's the sound is the reason why the teaser for the car didn't feature any visuals other than the sound. So even iRacing.
Same
knows
as
it.
Yeah.
When I was in Laguna Seca, I stayed an extra day to watch the WeatherTech race, because I'll be damned if I'm going to Laguna Seca and not watch any racing, right?
Yeah.
So stayed an extra day to watch the race, and the race had been going on for a minute, and I had to go to the bathroom, right? Drink a little beer. So walked across the footbridge, right across like turn 6 or 7, you know, before you make the run to the compression to go up the hill, right? So I walk across the bridge. I go to a little porta potty right there next to the fence, and it's like right at the braking zone where they start downshifting. And oh man, both of them came through as I'm trying to go to the bathroom, and it just like you feel it in your feet. It just rumbled the whole fucking porta potty. Just it was nuts. That thing is it's insane. It's insane to see and hear up close.
Yeah, there's the speed downshifts. I mean, you know it from the sim and the BMW. How you. Almost like I call it a machine gun downshift.
Oh, really?
And it's just, it sounds so much sweeter in that Cadillac. It's just,
I'm sure
just
it will.
Like the P3, it's mean and it's satisfying every time. And I would never get tired. It's like the IndyCar is going around Indianapolis at 230 miles an hour. I'll never get tired of it lap after lap. Even the loudest car I've ever heard, the Porsche 911 RSR, after a while, you got annoyed with that. The Cadillac, never. Never get it.
No, you don't. I mean, Bradley, you took some first timers to Petit Le Mans last year.
Yes.
It's the previous version of the Cadillac, the DPI, but it still sounds pretty much the same, right?
Yeah, it does.
And their reaction was what?
Was like that. That car is impressive. I'll say I took, not to Petit Le Mans, but I took some first time experiencers to the VIR race last August in
The IMSA weekend?
Yes, and the prototype challenge came on, and they were relatively impressed by the GT cars. But when all those prototypes came out, these are types of cars that the average layperson is not used to seeing. You know, we call them spaceships. And then they hear the sound of all those P3s roaring. A few of them stood up and looked like, what is that? Yeah. And I, of course, sat back and was thoroughly excited.
Oh, yeah. We love to watch people watch things for the first time that we've already seen.
We've
covered that before. If Rob were here, he'd call us.
Oh, yeah.
He'd call us cucks, but that's it's just what we enjoy doing, folks. We like to take people and expose them to motorsport.
Yeah.
And it excites us to see their reaction. And if they don't react positively to it, they have to find their own ride home.
Don't come back.
If you aren't excited by our road motorsport experience, Uber back home. You're not going to ride with us. We're going to try to do that again this summer. We got a bunch of stuff going on this month and into July. We'll get to that before this episode's over, maybe, and tee it up. But I don't know. We got Willow Springs. I think it looks like a beautiful track. You've got some new kind of landscape things going on from iRacing. I feel like that kind of has taken the back seat to some of the cars. The new Porsche GT3.
Yeah, that came late and unexpected. You figured it would be in the back burner, but that's the cherry on top with all these updates. And you got Willow Spring. It's cool to finally have an updated Porsche. Now, where is the BMW GT4?
That is way behind. Mm. We need that new BMW GT4.
And new Porsche GT4, for that matter.
Meh.
That's pretty much the same, though. It's pretty much the same.
The BMW has the most appearance.
Aesthetically, that BMW is out of date big time this year, in particular. Considering we got the new BMW GT3 a year before
We'll get it. It'll be one of those added into the updates, just like maybe the Porsche and all that. It'll come. It'll be here. Before the end of the year, I predict.
The only thing I thought of, and what's different, probably some, it's freshened up. You got the full brake light bar or light bar at the tail end of the car. That's kind of cool. It's like the Porsche Cup car. That's a cool feature. I think that looks really good on the Porsche. The headlights are that rectangle style LED, just like in real life. But what is Bradley going to get most excited about the new Porsche? What we see in the GTP and the new GT3 is you can change the headlight colors, the daytime running headlights.
Can you do that
to a different color?
Can you do that in this car?
Why would you not?
Because iRacing doesn't always.
So what series of colors are people going to run if that's the case? I mean, Purple. Yeah, purple's a good one.
Purple,
right? Blue for the Mad Sim Racing folks.
I'll believe that when I see it. That's a touch. What? That
you
may
cynical
or may not
bastard.
Have. Because the BMW has no night LED lighting, but in real life.
Well, then the grill has.
No. There's no lighting option in the BMW GT.
There's not an option, but the grill does light up at night, Rez. No, am I wrong, guys?
It does not.
I don't think so.
I thought it does.
You're incorrect. Yeah,
the little trim around the
kidney,
the nostrils,
the kidneys. No, Greg, the kidneys. Yeah.
Those are just
it's an organ. No,
I don't think it does.
It does on another game, but not on iRacing. No,
well,
no.
That's a bunch
ACC
of
it does.
That's a bunch of bullshit.
It doesn't. I'm telling you. That's what I'm saying.
That's like a coolest thing about that.
Whereas
car.
The Ferrari lights up like a Christmas tree.
Where's my fucking refund?
Yeah. If my kidneys don't light up, then what did I spend $14 for? Or what? $11? I don't know.
I bought this really expensive Christmas tree. Now what the fuck?
Like, the lights are everything. The ambient lighting is half the battle.
Well, I would agree with that. Now we're on board.
Yeah. Because as I said, that kind of, I mean, to connect back to what I was referencing is the sound of the Cadillac. That's what we're pumped for, the sound of the P3. But when we're talking GTPs, It's a battle between now the two choices, because you know up till now, I mean, what? It's the first time you've had a choice in that level since LMP1, when you had the choice of an Audi or a Porsche. For a while, it was just in especially IMSA Endurance Cup special events on iRacing. It was LMP2. LMP2 was basically the top class. It was like the DPI. Now it's kind of found its way in the middle. But now, and then, of course, for Daytona, the BMW, Sebring, the BMW. But now for Watkins Glen and Petit Le Mans on iRacing, for the first time, you've got to make a choice at the top class. And I feel like we talked about when the BMW was announced that it's going to be the monopoly. So now, here's the question. Is the Cadillac going to be the monopoly? Although aesthetically, let's take a vote. What looks better, BMW or Cadillac?
Cadillac.
Ugh. Cadillac looks better? It looks better.
Yes.
You think it looks better?
That's a tough choice, honestly.
It looks cleaner than the BMW, maybe.
I've never been enamored with the BMWs aesthetically wise. Like, I appreciate that it looks different, and you can tell, like, design cues wise, they've managed to integrate BMW styling in there, but I just don't like that. Cadillac's better, but I would agree it's like neither of them are the best looking. LMDH.
Yeah. They're not the Porsche.
I like the Porsche.
The Porsche is my favorite of the ones that are in IMSA, but like there's a better looking one in WEC. But
Ferrari.
I
thought
the Peugeot.
What about the Peugeot?
I don't like the Peugeot at all.
Get the
I'm a Glickenhaus guy through.
I hate Glickenhaus. I hate Glickenhaus.
Glickenhaus hates you as a matter of fact.
They still have me blocked on Twitter.
See,
happened? Wait. What happened? What was that when Jim Glickenhaus was critical of sim racing?
Yes.
My man.
It was like literally like I don't think I even directly tweeted them. I retweeted someone else and they still blocked me.
Oh, he blocked us because to me, I don't know if you guys growing up ever watched that old show Junkyard Wars. But we used to enjoy that show, me and Tyler. And I feel like the Glickenhaus is something they made off of Junkyard Wars.
That's interesting.
Have you seen the road going version of that car?
I saw it. It's been a while. I couldn't picture it in my head right now, but I've seen it.
Is it a donkey carrying a cart?
Beautiful.
But that's
beautiful
but
car.
Something about that is why they wouldn't let him in IMSA. He was shitting on IMSA as well.
He shits on everything.
He does. Yeah.
He shits on the WEC for the tire warmer stuff. I mean, he's just Jim Glickenhaus loves to talk shit.
He's an old man and, yelling at clouds.
Yeah, and I honestly love him for it.
I mean, he's America right now, I guess, in that series.
He's a movie producer and a car maker. Let him talk shit.
I looked at his IMDb. I didn't recognize anything.
You know, I honestly don't. who knows?
He tried.
Who knows? He makes good-looking cars, though.
What was the movie he did? The Room? Anybody get that reference? Anybody?
Oh, Jesus man.
Christ. Tommy Wiseau.
I did not hit her.
I did not.
Oh, hi, Ma.
Hi, Ma. no, I think the Peugeot, I agree. The Peugeot looks good to me. I like the Peugeot. Give it to me.
I love it. I saw it in Sebring, and it looks weird. Mm-hmm. You know, it's got the Trihawk thing going on, like Rufio from Hook, you know?
It's too different though for me. Like I appreciate the difference, and you know, one thing we've said about other series is there isn't enough variance between the designs of cars, and it's a testament to WEC and prototype regulations in general that you can get so many different wild ethoses on what you do. You know, the Peugeot, it's got no fucking wing, and yet it's there, and it's somewhat competitive. And you know, credit to them for that. But you know, it's Marmite. You know, You love it. You hate it. I don't.
Have you seen the livery they're taking to
much better
Le Mans?
Yeah.
I mean, I like the gray, but this thing looks dope.
That should be their full livery all the time.
Yeah.
It's very, I don't know, Tron, like 80s, I don't know, something. I like it. I like the port, the porcelain's cool. Yeah. Yeah, it does. It does. So yeah, I like that one. That was one when they did the hype video for it. We talked about it on the show because we wanted that on iRacing so bad. I think honestly, we thought the Porsche GTP would be the next car that iRacing got.
That was my call. The Cadillac shocked me because I just didn't think they would ever have a relationship with Cadillac, which is silly because they have.
I mean, they would, but they never did the DPI. Right.
The same with Acura. I mean, if we get the Acura before we get the Porsche or the Acura,
well, if we get any more. Is there room for more all of these? Is there room for more of them?
So what are they going to do with the P3? Is it coming to the IMSA series?
It is not.
Is it going to be doing its own prototype challenge?
They're going to pair it with Michelin Pilot.
Yeah, we do have the answers for that in the notes just today, I believe. It is not coming to IMSA. It is in the official capacity. It's not coming to any of the special events for Watkins Glen or Petit. It's going to have its own series, as I understand it, with they're dropping the Falcon Tire. They're dropping the Falcon Tire GT4 fixed and doing basically what is the equivalent of the modern IMSA VP Racing Fuel situation.
It's gonna be GT4.
Yeah,
that thing.
It's mixed. So I mean, that's realistic. That's what we now see.
Yeah.
So I'm all for that. There, I've seen some chatter, a little bit of chatter, not a lot. I don't think it's overwhelming, of people that really did expect and want it to be in the special events and in IMSA on iRacing. I disagree with that.
Yeah.
We have plenty of multi-class action with three classes.
You'd end up watering it down even.
And more. Also, we know that real IMSA is knocking the P3 out.
Yeah.
So just be with the times. Don't get used to it. So I fully agree with that. I think we're going to have plenty of fun with it. It's a new tool for leagues. You know, it's something you could add into league play now. So it just adds more options. It really does. So I'm happy with how they're implementing that. Because if they're going to add 9 cars as they are now, which is something we've always mentioned, like what are they going to do? What's going to happen?
It's
got to be the Cadillac now,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, better that than the P3, you know?
The thing I really want them to do, though, is that, you know, for ever since they moved away from, like, having the GTP in European Sprint as well, it feels like they're too close. Like, the only thing differentiating IMSA from the European Sprint is the GTE presence, and they're going at the end of the year anyway.
Yeah.
So what I'd like them to do, now that we've got the LMP3, is kind of switch European Sprint to replicate the European Le Mans series, where you have P2, P3, GT.
Yeah,
and that way you can have the P2 back as a top class option again, like it was before the GTPs, and then it just adds a differentiation between them. It makes them not so similar. So
yeah, I agree with that. You got to keep those separate. I mean, 45 minutes to an hour is the only difference if they're too similar, and where they're at track based. I find myself anymore not choosing that series because it's an hour long, and that might be my. Because my back gets sore in my rig, I don't know. But I find myself not drawn to that particular series. So I feel like for me, individually, they need to change it up to get me kind of sucked back into it. Because I currently focus more on VRS or IMSA to kind of keep it going. So I've not really run that series. The GTEs generally are a bit of a graveyard for me right now. Well, they're run now. One last year, right? In WEC or in Le Mans. I mean, even a lot of drivers, a lot of people out there probably just are coming off the Majors 24. They went ahead and did the GT3 for their Le Mans 24 this year.
Oh, did they run the GT3?
They did this year for the first year.
So we were talking about this before we recorded our show. There was a huge problem in the Majors series. And this happened to quite a few of those. In fact, one of the splits had like 3 prototypes left by the end of the race because of this issue. There was a glitch that happens where if you fuck up the rear end of one of the prototype cars, you get stuck in an infinite repair loop.
Yes, I heard about this.
Right?
I heard about this.
And And we theorized, because neither of us ran the race. We theorized it was because they had the GTE in there with the prototypes that it didn't enable the new damage model for the prototypes, because the GTEs don't have the new damage model, right?
Yeah, I don't think. Yeah, no, so they don't have even the tire model or anything. No. Yeah.
Yeah, so that was the glitch, but they didn't have the GTEs, they had GT3s.
Yeah. So completely different, so yeah.
what happened?
So yeah, I read a little bit. I don't know the depths of that, but I know that our team, Mad Sim Racing or SimSide, had to retire because they were stuck in this infinite loop of repair, and that's maddening.
Yeah, our team too. They made it like 4 hours in. There was another team, a Twitch streamer, that it happened like 23 hours and 50 minutes.
Oh. I mean, that event, maybe we can touch on that in the second half, because it is worthy of talking about, as it's a bit of a Le Mans week. But it was solid. But yeah, that's a big event. Let's table that for a bit for the second half, maybe a little bit. I want to play a bit of a kind of a pick'em game here, because as we go into a new build, as we debate BMW versus Cadillac, I want to kind of get kind of what if you have a set amount of time, you're on the rig, you're going to make a choice of what to run, where to run, whatever it is. What do you pick? I know everybody's picky and the options are plentiful these days. So I want to go around the room and run down a bit of a list game and maybe generate some conversation on it. I think the first one we kind of hit on, it's BMW, GTB, or Cadillac. Who picks the Cadillac? Who picks the BMW? Bradley, are you throwing the BMW out?
No, I'm still BMW through and through. I have the BMW shirt and gear. I am a BMW.
Okay, IMSA cool. Fan. You got the shirt. Yes. Okay.
No, I'm BMW still.
What does that mean?
I don't know.
You have the shirt?
I don't know, because I have the shirt. I'm
going to drive it?
Yeah.
So the shirt does a lot for you. Are you going to wear the shirt while you drive it?
Maybe.
Is it going to make you faster to wear the shirt while you drive it?
Probably.
At least a tenth. At least a tenth.
No, I'm going BMW.
What's your choice?
What's your choice, boss man?
I feel like
it's aggressive.
I'm questioning here. I feel like I want to be a contrarian. I hate it when iRacing comes out with the hottest new thing and everybody does it, and I jump in a session and it's what everybody does. I jump into an event and it's what everybody has. I want to wear the different piece of clothing. So for the next 5 months, yeah, I want to do the BMW. Fuck you, hipsters, and your Cadillac.
I mean, you're gonna.
I'm taking the Cadillac because the BMW drives like ass.
What if the Cadillac drives like ass?
Then I'm going Lamborghini GT3.
There we go. Okay.
Even though it got popped.
Fair. I can't argue with that.
Out of hell.
Yeah.
But the I can't dial out how much turn in it has. It's like it doesn't have oversteer.
Yeah.
But the front end is like too reactionary.
Yeah, I could see that. We did.
You know what I'm saying?
It's good for me because I don't like to talk stats for individuals, because who cares what I did. But I ran the GTP BMW at Daytona IMSA this past week, twice. I won both races.
Nice.
Wow.
Congratulations.
Nobody gives. Who cares what I did? I don't like to do that on this show.
Toot his own horn.
You know, what a boring iRacing podcast. Anyway, what'd you do this week? Anyway, what'd you do this week? Nothing. I hate that.
I drove the GTP to a P3 finish in the third split of the 12 hours of Sebring.
Cool.
I crashed the GTP.
So, I mean, I enjoy the car. It's fun. But it's, it just.
Yeah, I understand what you mean, though, because the kink at Daytona, if you don't turn it just right, I mean, geez. You're in the grass. It reacts very quickly. Jordan, what's your pick?
I'm going Caddy as well, but like I'm in a similar position to Greg, whereby I can't drive the GTP. It's not for his issue. It's the braking. Mm. I've really struggled to get a hang of the braking on the GTP, but looking at the patch notes, they've said they've updated the braking parameters. So hopefully that's like bringing in brake migration or something that we haven't got to try and tune that out. So I'm going Caddy in the hopes that I can drive it. If not, I'm back to the LMP2 again B3. I'm going to become a dentist. I'm going B3.
Next one, Mazda MX-5 or Toyota GR86? Bradley?
Toyota GR86. It sounds better.
Okay. Greg?
The 86. It's so much more fun.
Yeah. 86 for me, too, because it has a roof on it. What? Jordan?
If they got the MX-5 sounding as good as it does in real life, then it would be MX-5. Yeah. But I think it
sounds good?
No, it's not good. It's just loud.
I'll tell you this. Greg?
It's loud, and it takes forever to leave.
That's great.
Like, You can't. We're on the pit wall, like trying to get shit ready, right? And the Miatas are running, and you can't talk.
Yeah, they're loud. You can't
talk until they all leave, and it takes 10 minutes for them to go down the straightaway.
But they do smell good, don't they?
They do smell good.
That exhaust smells tasty.
Did y'all see that wreck at Laguna Seca? No. That car going end over end over end.
I didn't.
It rolled like 4 or 5 times. Oh,
Jesus.
We helped them push it back on the trailer.
Oh, Christ.
At the end of Sunday, right? Got to talk to some of the guys, but oh, man.
Those things are mean.
They fucked that car up.
Next one, LMP1 or GTP car? This is going some legacy content here, right?
GTP. Well, I killed somebody in an LMP1.
Okay.
I committed a
Jordan,
vehicular
go
homicide.
Ahead. Go ahead, Jordan. You look your deep at thought.
I love the 919. And yeah. I love the tractor as well. no, I'm going to go GTP just because I prefer like the ethos of it. But
yeah,
I still prefer the 919 like at the moment. Like,
I have to go with GTP because I can actually compete and drive with it. LMP1, I could not do it. It was too technical.
Plus the P1 just sounds psycho to me.
It's hybrid.
I miss being able to get out of every bad situation by pressing a button. I do miss that aspect. Just like, oh no, someone's somewhat like, bye.
Yeah, push the pass. Push the pass.
Love that.
Oh, it's
love
a robust that. Car. It's yeah, fun without, to laugh. But as a race car, I don't know. It's fun to do miracle with.
PCA just did a fundraiser event for Operation Motorsports last week. And then me and Tyler Guillemet ran the 919. finished third, and after 4 hours at Sebring,
PCA's is no slouch.
I love the 919.
Yeah,
I love the way it sounds. Yeah. I love the way it drives. The way it just cuts through traffic. Yeah. Like it's the perfect car.
That's the only one I bought because the steering wheel's on the right side as an American. The Audi's on the wrong side. It disoriented me. So
yeah, it's the most dominant race car ever built ever. Right, like it's so. That's why they made the tribute for it, right?
Yeah,
you remember when they did that? When they said they retired the car, they took off, they like extended the diffuser, took out the lights, like said fuck the WEC and all their
DRO
regulations.
Yeah,
and then they took it to every track they ever raced at and broke every record.
Oh yeah, they took it. There's a video of it at Nürburgring. Yes, that was amazing. Yeah,
it ran faster around Spa than Lewis Hamilton's 2016 whole time
for 1 year, but then they beat it the next year. But I don't account that because 919 hybrid the tribute is just beautiful. Like if we could get that in iRacing, sold. Yeah. Never driving anything else.
Oh, yeah.
I don't care if it ends up being like the Mercedes W12. Like I will just lap that on my own forever.
next up, NASCAR Cup, Xfinity, or truck. Throwing a little oval curveball in there for a moment.
Xfinity every day.
Yeah.
It's so much better than
the Bradley, do you even have any idea?
Well, back in the day, a few years ago when I would race, I actually did prefer running Xfinity myself.
Yeah.
With a joystick, right?
Yeah, he did do it with the joystick. Yeah.
Fucking hell.
He still does, arguably. If you watch his lap.
Fuck you.
I'd like
there's nothing wrong with a joystick.
There's not.
I like the next gen cup car, so I'm sticking with that.
Yeah,
I like the truck.
Yeah, the truck's fine. Okay, the truck is more forgiving. Next, VIR or Mid Ohio?
VIR.
Oh. Yeah,
it's Mid Ohio,
Tyler.
Mid Ohio.
Mid Ohio for me.
We're split.
Mid Ohio's unspectacular.
You're unspectacular, you bastard fuck.
I've got a long running dispute with VIR on a moral level.
To say you liked it once.
Like it's an okay track. It's just when you have to run 50 laps of there in 2 hours, you tend to lose some. I lost a bet a long time ago. Had to run too many laps there that I care to admit, and I hate it when people call it the American Nordschleifer. It just isn't.
Oh, I've heard that. It's
the green monster. It's the green
monster. It's the
green hell.
American Nordschleifer. Yeah, it's big Road Atlanta is what it is.
Yeah, I've heard Road America called the. American, Road America. Yeah,
that's more.
I'd consider that okay, but like VR, no, fuck that.
It's beautiful and it is green.
Yeah.
Next one. You can only run one race in the week and that's it. You're too busy. Do you pick the GT4 Falcon Tire Challenge fixed or the VRS GT3 official, that 40 minute one? open setup or fixed GT4 for 30 minutes.
Probably do, if I'm just jumping into one race for enjoyment.
For the week.
GT3.
You can only do one for the week, and that's it.
GT3. I'll have more fun running GT3.
Okay.
Can I go for a walk instead? Like,
if you
is Niebuhr an option? Talking to Jordan, who's like the supreme hater of GT racing on iRacing specifically.
Yeah.
I said, of course. Exactly.
It is. That's where he likes it.
Porsche or Mercedes GT3, if you got to make a pick?
Mercedes.
Porsche or Mercedes? Mercedes? Mercedes for Bradley? Porsche or Mercedes GT3?
Porsche, for sure.
Porsche, yeah.
I know I have been enjoying
Scream the Mercedes at me. A lot more. Scream at me, Porsche.
I've been doing a lot more Mercedes driving.
Yeah.
It's just
I like living, so I don't like driving.
Treble. Porsche. Yeah, the Porsche is a little slidey. Porsche is a little slidey. GT3 or GTE?
Three,
for sure. I mean, he's a bit neglected.
I miss the M8 GT.
Yeah. That question is like, do you want the kid that has everything or do you want the kid that's neglected and in the broom cupboard there? I mean,
I'd be interested to try it if they gave it the new damage and new tires and everything just to see if it's any better. But at the moment, it's just a GT3 is just better.
Yeah.
The Lamborghini GT3 over everything, to be honest.
I struggle with I love the Lamborghini, but I struggle with the handling.
Two more. If you're running an oval session, oval race, hosted or official, or league or whatever, do you want the cautions on or do you want the cautions off in an oval race?
It's got to be on.
Yeah.
I'm thinking ARCA, you know, that low class, the ARCA, the cautions are off and it's pure fucking chaos.
That's the problem. Like, you end up coming across somebody who's perpendicular with the racetrack and... Like, someone is still trying to send it too wide with you. Like, nah, I'll take cautions and just spin on the restart.
Is there anything more violent than that Class D ARCA in iRacing official?
No.
I've yet to find it. Pure violence.
Do you ever run a dirt race?
Oh, yeah, they're pretty bad. No, yeah, at least they have the excuse of there not being any grip. Like,
I cannot figure dirt out for the life of me.
No. Last question for the room. Last question, we'll go to break. Daytona or Indianapolis?
Damn, that's a hard one.
That's right.
Wait, oval or road course?
Ovals.
Indianapolis.
Indianapolis, even like if we just including the whole place as a whole.
Whole place, yeah. You can include the whole place. Indianapolis.
The road course is ass.
I prefer the road course at Indy to Daytona.
The road course is terrible.
No, I mean, I feel special with Daytona Road. Yeah. But are we all picking Indy?
Ovals, yeah, Indy.
Yeah.
Indy 500 over Daytona 500?
Yes.
Sorry, NASCAR 100%. Fans.
Absolutely.
Sorry, NASCAR fans.
They're not
fans.
In the same ballpark for me, personally. Yeah.
There's a reason why I'm going to that next year and not the Daytona.
we will see you there, Mr. Groves. And fellas, let's take our break. We'll come back. We'll close it out with a little bit of maybe the Majors 24 talking a little bit of that, and see what else we can get into to close her out on a short week on Into the Apex. We'll be right back.
Go anywhere. More Into the Apex is coming up.
Tired of getting caught up in the mayhem of turn one? So are we. Although we can't protect you from disasters in iRacing, we can protect you and your family from mayhem on the road or at home. The Allstate Javicki Agency proudly protects families in Ohio and Pennsylvania. Give John a call today at 412-561-6239. Mention Mad Sim Racing or Into the Apex when calling to receive a gift card with a qualified quote. No purchase necessary. Into the Apex is going back on the road in 2023, and it's all brought to you by our friends at Pro Kart Concepts. Pro Kart Concepts provides top-tier carts, parts, and consumables to the tri-state area and support based out of the Pittsburgh International Raceway. If there's anyone that can get you set in the world of karting, it's Eric and Dan with PKC. Visit ProKartConcepts.com for more information. This episode is brought to you by the racing fans at Great Hire HR. Whether you're hiring one employee or 100, Great Hire will let you keep doing what is important, running your business. For more information, visit GreatHireHR.com. You've just achieved your greatest accomplishment as a sim racer. Now what? Don't let it become just another stat you never see.
Alien Awards is a service run by and for sim racers, creating clearly printed plaques on solid surfaces, something you can display proudly to mark a major victory and show off your team and sponsors. Whether you're an individual driver looking to create a memory or a league owner looking to take your season to the next level, Alien Awards can help. These are quality awards, I know because I've won one. There are no setup or design fees, and shipping in the U.S. is free. Take your sim racing career to new heights. Visit alienawards.net. That's alienawards.net. This episode of Into the Apex is brought to you by our partners at TrackRacer. Since 2008, TrackRacer has been designing and pioneering best value, high-end gaming platforms and accessories. TrackRacer products are made from the highest quality materials that offer unsurpassed durability. TrackRacer is supported by recognizable names such as Haley Deegan, Ross Chastain, Alex Pillow, and Alpine F1 Team. Check them out through the link on our website, intotheapex.com, and support the show.
This is Into the Apex Motorsport Podcast Network.
Part two of Into the Apex. We're back in the studio. Tyler Bradley, Jordan Groves, Greg Meismer closing her out. And we've got a pretty big summer planned ahead of us. It kicked off with the Indy 500 road show. That was an outstanding show, Bradley. That was probably the best one we've had yet. The party's only getting started for summer 2023.
Got a lot going on.
Couple weeks here in the studio, and then it's a marathon. We're going to be at VIR for the SRO races for the third year now, and covering that. We've got the media passes for that one. We're going to be in the pits.
See how that goes.
Yeah, we're going to be in the pits. We're going to have our fanny pack and our mics. And,
will we?
Yeah, I think, yeah. We're going to try to talk to all of our friends we've made, a lot of those drivers that have been on this show remotely. We're going to try to see what their take is on VIR in that particular weekend and kind of bring your flavor of that. We do love VIR. We do. It's a special place. So we'll be there in that capacity for the Saturday running of those events. We're going to see the Toyota Gazoo cars for the first time, and we'll kind of give you our take on that. That'll kind of catch our attention. The immediate weekend after that, we pick right back up and head to Watkins Glen for another massive camping bonanza. And last year, we that kind of started us into motorsport camping, and that show was we did a couple shows, I think, there. This year, it's only growing. Greg is going to be there. We've actually been figuring out the logistics. He's going to be bunking with us, and we're going to have a pretty big crew there. We've got, I think, three or four camping sites booked.
I would say this.
Out
of all the things I did last year, Daytona. I mean, I love Daytona, yeah. But Daytona, the Indy 500, Petit Le Mans, VIR a couple times, Mid-Ohio last year.
What other races,
Nashville
Bradley?
List them all, buddy. Out of all of those, honestly, in my mind, living in my mind, free of rent, yep. As my favorite of last year was that camping experience at Watkins Glen.
That was your favorite trip of the
year. That's the highlight for me last year. I had the best time every day there. There was just nothing like that natural landscape in that track. And just camping out there, waking up every day, it was just absolutely flawless.
You didn't have to drive anywhere. You didn't have to go anywhere.
So I cannot wait to get back to Watkins Glen.
Yeah, you see people leaving for the day because they got day tickets or whatever. They're going staying in a hotel in, I don't know, Ithaca, an hour away.
Bye, peasants. Yeah. We're staying here.
Later, the party's only started for us. Everybody's got fires. I mean, just across the dirt path of our campsite, the next plot over, were folks with a fire pit at night, and they had a projector on a Easy Up screen thing that was hanging down from their Easy Up, and they were playing like the qualifying from earlier in the day on IMSA TV on YouTube. Or the last year's race. I don't know what it was, but it was IMSA broadcast. And they were just watching that at night, having drinks, sitting by a fire. I mean, what is better than that? Oh, my God. It was just beautiful.
Have y'all done Sebring yet?
We have not done Sebring. No, we have not.
You need to camp at Sebring.
That is the last one of the ones we got.
That should be wild, yeah.
Yeah. It's definitely a time.
That's. I think we got. I'm. You may have been on here. We got into it a tad.
Oh yeah.
That's been on our list, and I think it's going to come on there. Yeah, the camping experience is, you know, the week after Watkins Glen, I'll be camping at Mid Ohio, so I'm going to be camped out. I'll tell you that. And then we're going to kind of close out the summer road shows with.
Will.
Yeah, well.
It's a little late.
Yeah.
A boo.
And then we'll close it out July 18th at Pittsburgh for some karting with Pro Kart Concepts. And that'll kind of close us out. And we'll kind of take it from there for the road shows. But yeah, the Watkins Glen, man, I want to settle on that for a second. Because, Greg, it'll be your first time up there.
Yeah. You're kind of a bittersweet trip, right? Mm-hmm. I had planned on trying to get my brother out, because when him and I first started sim racing, the amount of hours that we put into Watkins Glen, like, it became our like official test track. Anytime anything new came out, that's where we took it, was because we just know the track inside and out. You know, we watch the NASCAR race every year. Mm-hmm. It's a whole thing, right? Yeah. And so, really wanted to bring him along. Unfortunately, he's not going to get to make it. And we won't get to share, you know, our first experience of the Glen together. But, you know, he's been kind of living vicariously through me throughout the season. I get to come home, bring him stickers and all kinds of shit, you know. And so I wish, Kyle, if you're listening, I wish you could make it. But, you know, I'll bring you some track rubber, some dirt or something, you know. Which he appreciates, that kind of thing. So, I can't wait. It's of all the tracks, I think Indy really is the only other like bucket list track that I want to go to on the IMSA calendar. I got to do Laguna Seca, I got to do Sebring, I got to do Daytona, which were like the top three. You know,
and so, for listeners that may just be joining or haven't heard Greg on before or into the paddock, Greg is embedded with Operation Motorsport, with Core Motorsport, with Luca Mars, the Mustang and the IMSA Michelin pilot. So he's been on the crew, on the team, starting with Daytona and on this year. And
I didn't get to go to Detroit this last weekend, but, you know, just some logistical things going on there. But
street circuit races seem tough to fit people in. It's just tight.
Yeah, it's real tough. And you know, that the Daytona's Core's, you know, hometown. They had just moved down to Daytona from Detroit. So you know, they got a lot of people there that they work with. I was excited to get to go, because it was going to be my first IndyCar race.
Yeah, that's also true.
And so you know, it is what it is. I'm not too heartbroken about it. I'm still getting to do what I'm getting to do.
Yeah.
You know,
Watkins Glen probably will be much better. Watkins Glen it's beautiful. You get up there and it's beautiful.
That's what I hear.
Yeah. We
right at the end of the Finger Lakes.
Yeah. You know? Oh, when you're, I mean, from the turn one up the hill S's, when you go to the spectator area and to the right of the track, you can see Lake Seneca. At the edge of Watkins Glen, the village. You can see a bit of the village, and you can see Lake Seneca extend through the hills. Beautiful.
It almost looks like it's moving upward from where you are, because you're on top of the hill.
Yeah, it's outstanding.
Just, yeah, it's an amazing... The point of view we had almost from where we camped was just, you'd wake up and look over, and you'd see the water like it was above you in the horizon.
Right.
Just
incredible. I fly the area. I do a lot of flight sims,
also
too.
Also, Brad.
Right? So Microsoft flight sim. I've flown that area so many times. Just because, again, it's the fucking scenery is amazing.
Yeah, it is.
You know, the village of Watkins Glen looks picturesque.
Yeah,
you know, I've seen pictures of it. So yeah, it's gonna be a wild time. I'm just so appreciative of what I try not to take any of this for granted, right? Yeah. And anytime I get to go to these places, I try to experience just as much as I can, sights, sounds, smells, food, you know, just fucking everything. It's such a wild, like, I'm still like having trouble deciding whether or not this is even real life still, right? You know? Yeah. I'm excited. And then to be a part of this thing, right? Mm. The podcast, and to be able to share it with you guys, and then I got to meet y'all in Daytona. Yeah. That was a lot of fun. And then we're going to do it again on Watkins Glen. So Just like it, there's layers to this whole experience that kind of a once in a lifetime ordeal, right? Like, you get to do this for 2 years with Operation Motorsports, and hopefully it'll turn into a career in motorsport, which would be even better, right? But like, this being my first season, it's kind of overwhelming. And talking to guys in the paddock that have been doing this, you know, 10, 15, 20, 30 years, I was talking to our tire guy one time. I was like, you know, does this feeling of being here doing this, does it ever go away? And we were like eating lunch at the time, and he kind of dropped his taco and he looked down and looked back up, and he was like, No, it's pretty much this the whole time.
Yep.
You'll this feeling will never go away, right? The new never wears off. You know, you just kind of learn to live in it and just kind of accept it for what it is. But no, it's always exciting. Day one to year 20.
Yeah.
Still loving it every day.
A constant rush, I can imagine.
Yeah.
That's motorsport in general. That's what, as a spectator, that's what keeps you coming. As anybody on the ground, it's just a different energy from any other type of sporting event.
From any sport, right? Like, like I've been to countless baseball games. I've been to a few football games. If you've never been to a soccer game, it's pretty fucking close, right?
No. Like Jordan's shaking his head. He's in the UK. That's where it's what's football. We call it soccer over here.
It's a fight. It's just a fight. It's an excuse for a load of drunk people to go and fight out in and outside the stadium.
So the hometown team here is the Houston Dynamo, right? And they won the MLS Cup like their first 4 years in existence, right? And so nod your head, go to sleep. It's different here. It's not as many people. It's different, I'm sure, in Europe. Going to a football match, but
football. I don't know why we say it in another language, but that's what I do too. I do that as well.
But here, you know, it's pretty close. The energy level. I mean, you know, it's not the same experience at all. Don't get me wrong, but like the energy level is pretty close.
Yeah.
But I would still put motorsports on top.
Yeah. Just to watch, it keeps your attention. Your attention is it cannot wander each lap. It just can't.
Yeah.
There's no nil-nil draws.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. That's correct.
You know, you go for a whole weekend.
Yeah.
Right? Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. This the whole time. It never stops.
Watkins Glen, we're going to have, if anybody out there is going, we're going to have a pretty big campsite going and a bar set up, despite the rules. There will be
there are no rules.
They'll be glad. There will be bottles of glass. Yeah. So that's just put it that way. The road show will be plentiful. So if you're not going, we'll make sure you're along with us. I want to close it out tonight, talk a little bit about the Majors 24. I feel like a lot of iRacers, a lot of folks on iRacing got into that. It's into what, its third year now. And I don't know, you guys did not. So again, you guys didn't race in it, neither Greg or Jordan.
No, but my team did.
Okay. Well, what did you hear about their experience? Me and Bradley did run in it. We'll chat about it a bit, but any other than the glitches that we referenced in the first half, I mean, it seemed like a pretty solid event. The challenge coins get better and better with majors. I think that's the coolest part of it.
I haven't seen pictures of this year's coin, but it's at least on my team's end, because of, you know, the infinite repair glitch that happened. That's spoiler alert. You guys kind of experienced a little bit of too. It seemed like the workup was more exciting, right?
Yeah.
In the few weeks beforehand, because it was their first time running the GTP car, right? And so figuring that whole thing out, getting the setup just right, like it's putting so many laps around the Sarth circuit is just, I mean, it's a treat in and of itself, right?
Yeah.
It's like just running that big ass track, so. They didn't fare too well because, again, the infinite repair glitch got them, like, I think right after the first or second stint. So only like maybe one or two drivers got to drive the car even. And it is what it is. That's racing. you know, sometimes your car breaks and you can't fix it. So that's just what happens.
It's a bit of a Le Mans hype this week. I mean, iRacing obviously now for more than a year, a couple years, 3 years, what? They've not had an official Le Mans event. How much of a gap in what the service offers is that to you guys? I mean, to me, it's a massive one, but I mean, it's just, it's missing. It's a missing place there.
Between that and Indianapolis, you know.
Oh, especially now.
Yeah, we've lost it like, all.
Like, Indianapolis was mine, but Le Mans was like the biggest one after that for me, like in terms of just the notoriety of it. So to be in a position now where you have to have these independently run ones is, you know, it's a solution to a problem we didn't wish we had, but, you know. It sounds like it's good when you're not in an infinite repair glitch, but yeah, it's a huge gap. It's a huge gap.
Yeah. It's, I mean,
I'm glad Majors is there to pick it up.
Hmm.
Right. Like, and it seems like they're doing it in the best way possible. So, yeah, it's still available. It's still out. You do have to pay to enter, but I think that's part of what makes it even better.
Yeah, we just hyped up the Speedway 500. I mean, they do regulate it pretty stringently, so you're paying for that, if nothing else. Up to 8 splits got coins on the podium. That's a lot of coins. They shared a photo of all the coins for the podiums that they got. It's quite a bit, so I understand that you're paying for that, the broadcast, and I really find when it comes to the majors events, as we've talked about before, the team hype, the collective hype over the qualifying process through the week, it's as exciting as bump day in the Indy 500 to a lot of us. I mean, it really is. So it is worth it for that, I think, to pay a little bit. I want to say it's better than the official race, but I know the official race has a lot less stipulations to be able to race. Bradley almost didn't get to race because he was at too many Dave Matthews Band concerts.
Yeah, it's worth it. That's I will say the racing, the race will be back every year. They will not. That's my only
who's
logic.
They Dave Matthews,
yes,
Bradley. So we had to prequal, you had to do prequal laps for the
we're not going
majors 24.
We're not going into this.
And Bradley,
I
went,
think we might be.
Oh jeez.
Bradley went to not one but two Dave Matthews Band concerts
back to back,
back on two consecutive nights, and had to squeak in to the prequal for the majors 24 at the very last session.
I mean,
had he missed that last session, we would have been severely penalized.
If you have a chance to see your favorite band two nights in a row, waterfront, within downtown, walking distance of a gorgeous downtown with plentiful bars, why wouldn't you do that?
Dave Matthews Band, like, of all time, your favorite band?
Yeah.
Close.
No, he's not saying, no, yeah. It is.
It is.
Was What Would You Say and Ants Marching better on Wednesday or Thursday night, Bradley?
go screw. Go screw.
They're not a bad band, but
it's a choice.
It is a choice.
It's a choice.
To go see the same concert two nights in
a
row.
I'm not the stereotypical fan. It's just, it's the music that I came up listening to. It could be
Taylor Swift.
I could still be a Backstreet Boys fan.
You could have just gone to one concert instead of two.
The Black and Blue album was a good album.
It was decent. It was amazing. Me and Tyler both had cassettes of one of the albums, one of the first albums, and we would listen to it on our Walkman cassette.
Oh, shit.
We'd be so excited as children. But see, I could still be an obsessive fan of the Backstreet Boys, but I'm not.
Oh, Jesus.
I'm not. There's nothing wrong with Dave Matthews Band.
Was the concert good, though?
Oh, they were absolutely amazing.
Of course.
I was also highly intoxicated during both.
Oh, yeah.
So
that helps.
That's how you enjoy a Dave Matthews show. You can't be sober.
No. But, and I was not.
But you almost missed your qualifying.
No,
for
No, actually minutes. I didn't. We qualified just fine.
Okay.
It all went well. We finished fifth.
Well, Le Mans this week. A lot of talk about that. But we got a little tad bit of Motorsport Games news today. There's going to be an official 24 hours Le Mans game, and it was announced, and it's going to be called Le Mans Ultimate. So it's to do with the exclusivity deal with MSG and the ACO, which is obviously what took Le Mans from us on iRacing. And we talked about quite a bit the R Factor 2 Le Mans Virtual. It's broadcast so beautifully, broadcast, it's so great, but then it crashed. it's ugly. It's, you know, it's an ugly sim. It sucks. It's not any, you know, it's, I'm even, it's taking words from me. But now that we're going to have something new exclusively for this, and presumably the next Le Mans Virtual is going to be with this product.
It is.
You say we're going to have this thing like where it's actually going to come out.
Motorsport games?
I feel like they're just trademarking shit that's never going to get released. Yeah. Like the IndyCar game, the NASCAR game, this new Le Mans, whatever the fuck.
Well,
you know, that we'll probably never even see development.
I've watched the Twitter. Jordan, I you're active on Twitter. You mentioned something about the developer of this. Go into it more because I wasn't aware of what you shared. There was a positive that you saw in this, I think.
The positive is that, you know, whilst it's being fucking developed by monosodium glutamate, you know, it at least it's being made by Studio 397. You know, Studio 397 are under the wing of MSG. And you know, they made R Factor. And now, yeah, R Factor, you said with Le Mans Virtual, it's got many flaws. You know, when it works, which is one day in 365, it's great. You know, the tire model's great. It feels great. The content's fine. It's great. But, you know, it's not without issues. For example, when they brought the British Touring Car content over, which is another title that they stole all the rights for and didn't let anyone else use, it took a year for those stuff to actually be playable, so the AI didn't do gymnastics on every curb. So they're very slow to respond to issues, and it's just such a finicky process to get R-Factor 2 to work in a way that's satisfying and makes you want to go and back and play it. So, you know, whilst if they can get everything wrong with R-Factor 2 out of it and just leave everything in that's good and then build the Le Mans Ultimate game around that, then it might be good. And I'm semi-confident that we might actually see this game as opposed to 21 Ignition. Because that should be a game that we never saw, but unfortunately we do. But no, there are positives. I'd still prefer to live in a world where the license was available for everybody. And, you know, realistically, am I going to care about this game when I can drive some of the GTPs on iRacing on more tracks than there are going to be in the game? But then there's the other positive. They've already said that it's going to be a game that they evolve over time instead of releasing an annual game every year, because annual release motorsport games are terrible because they can never add enough to keep them sustained over time, like F1 games. Like, what do they add this year? Oh, a new Drive to Survive game mode. Brilliant. Like, because that's what I want in my racing, more reality TV.
That's okay. Like the EA Sports stick and ball sports games that come out on consoles. It's like, what's new this year? The bodies move a little more realistically. Give us $50.
But then the other interesting thing, like they said, so this standalone game and the whole idea that I thought they were working with acquiring these licenses with R-Factor 2 existing is that they were going to share the resources. So they got the IndyCar license. They're making a standalone IndyCar game, allegedly. But they put the IndyCar in R-Factor 2 as the sandbox. But now they're releasing, so then they have the standalone games. I thought, well, the standalone game, surely they'll release that on console. Le Mans Ultimate, they've said it's not scheduled to release on console, but they will reevaluate that in the future. So why have both? Like, surely if we've got them in R-Factor 2, just play R-Factor 2. Mm-hmm. Like, we've got Le Mans, we've got most of the cars in there. Just is there going to be enough to make people who play R-Factor 2 go and buy Le Mans Ultimate? Like, yeah, I don't know.
It feels like maybe a hacky attempt to just raise capital. Here's a product. We're going to brand it. We're going to brand it, and it's exclusive. Give us money. Invest in our stock. I refuse to invest. If iRacing were on the stock market, I would load up. I refuse to invest in motorsport games.
All we've got to show for from motorsport games so far that's their own work, because I'm not counting NASCAR Heat and Kartcraft as stuff that they've developed, because they say they have. They haven't. They bought it. All they've got that's individual to them that they made under their own jurisdiction is NASCAR 21. Terrible. Like, and all they have to do to, and all they're doing by attracting these different licenses is acquiring more licenses to look at other licenses and go, hey, look, we've got all these licenses. You should join us. Yeah. but they haven't got anything to show for it yet.
Yeah.
And NASCAR, like the fact that they had an internal meeting at NASCAR being like, yo, these guys are shit. Like, you know, you've got to do something pretty damn special to make NASCAR think, oh, they're not very good at this.
Yeah.
Like, and then when you've got other companies out there like iRacing who are now working with Monster Games to do the World of Outlaws game for console, and that game was excellent, a great console game using the right physics. It felt fine. When you've got people like that who have actually got things to show for the effort and the licenses they've accrued, I don't understand why more and more people are still going to the obvious dumpster fire that is MSG. I just don't get it.
Like, yeah, it's almost as if they're really, really, really good at shaking hands.
Oh yeah,
with wealthy people. Like I don't know what their hospitality. I mean, what are they doing?
They must have really soft hands.
They must, or they give really good hors d'oeuvres.
Soft lips,
or an even prettier mouth.
A pretty mouth and some tasty hors d'oeuvres, because something is just bowing people over.
They got the Red Bull catering.
Yeah, yeah. Like, what is going on? Because I mean, IndyCar. We went through it so much. We did a couple shows based on it at the new year. I mean, it was immediate negative feedback. I dare say it was overwhelmingly negative feedback
for sure.
And it continues. I mean, I saw comments about this news article today about this deal and this thing, this product that was announced. People referencing the IndyCar deal, like, we won't see it. What are we going to see? I mean, they're just headlines. They're investing catalysts. Like, here's a headline: invest more on our, you know, we're in the public market. So I get that feel from it. Like, it's just a bunch of hot air to raise capital, and nothing's coming from it. We're not going to get actual product where iRacing is delivering it. People are hyped about it, and it's what it needs to be. I think in a future show we will all get together and talk about ACC. How about that? David Perel speaks highly of it, and I trust David Perel, and Jordan, I trust you. So that's the only one I haven't tried. I've tried R Factor. I hated it.
I honestly, at this point for you, I wouldn't recommend trying ACC, because like you like GTs in iRacing.
I do.
On ACC will destroy it for
you. Don't. Yeah. Keep.
I honestly can't recommend it. I don't want to hurt you.
Yeah. Don't hurt me like that. Don't launch me into an identity crisis, please. I don't have the money for that.
We've got Rennsport that's like the beta's coming out today, and they all say that feels really good as well.
Yeah, Rennsport makes me anxious because I feel like it's going to cost me thousands of dollars.
That's my problem. I want to be excited for it, but I'm so invested in iRacing. Yeah. I can't afford another problem child.
Yeah.
I was just talking to my brother about this like 2 days ago, how Rennsport's going to fuck it up.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's going to take a lot to pull me away from iRacing,
but
Rennsport's going to make a run for the money.
Yeah. I mean, just as Apple releases a $3,000+ VR headset, which I don't think...
You're still on Apple?
No, I mean, I'm an Apple guy, but I looked at it. I don't think it has much to do with gaming. It seems to be more personal computing in the...
Productivity,
I think. Augmented reality, but, you know, the price tag on it, almost $4,000. And I see Rennsport and I see technology, and I'm like, where's the nearest blood plasma place? I'm going to start selling blood plasma to SimRace.
That's need one kidney. Like.
Yeah, I'm going to start selling organs, blood plasma, other fluids to fund my SimRacing habit. that's where we're going with this, guys. That's where we're going with this. That's a good spot. Body fluids, let's close with that. Body fluids, cool. Sell what you got. Sim racing is about to get maybe a little more expensive. That's the takeaway from this. But Tyler Bradley in the main studio, Jordan Groves, Greg Meismer from the Into the Paddock podcast on the Into the Apex Motorsport Podcast Network. Go to intotheapex.com to catch all of our shows on the network, and check out ITP alongside ITA, because that'll get you going with the real racing world. We'll get you going with the sim world. Between us, we got you covered. Here on the network. Guys, thanks so much for doing double duty tonight.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
Yeah, thanks. Good.
We'll catch you guys a little later in the week, and then we're on the road for the rest of June here on Into the Apex.
You've been been listening to Into the Apex
from Mad Sim Racing Media.
Check out the show's upcoming road trips and join the community at intotheapex.com.